Welcome to the Background Briefing podcast. In the Northern Territory, the CLP government is on a big push to regain control of the streets, with police under orders to pick up drunks. The orders from the Attorney General have seen nearly 1,000 Aboriginal people picked up and detained in Darwin for minor offences such as drinking in public parks and disorderly conduct. The paperless arrest laws, as they're known, allow police to hold people in the watchhouse cells for offences that no court would jail them for. Now there's been a Black Death in custody, and the Territory Coroner has warned more could follow. The Coroner says the paperless arrest laws should be repealed, but the Territory's Attorney General says that's the Coroner's opinion, and the government won't budge. This is Wendy Carlisle's report.
It's the wee small hours of Sunday morning in Darwin's notorious Mitchell Street. The alfresco bars, ducks nuts, monsoons and shenanigans are packed and in full swing. Like the Todd River in Alice Springs, Darwin's Mitchell Street has a sorry record of booze and violence. It's a glimpse of the Territory's bigger grog problem. The alcohol-related violence, hospital admissions, and a police force overburdened with cleaning up the mess. When the CLP won the 2012 election, they abolished the previous government's liquor reforms, such as the Banned Drinkers Register, which electronically linked all takeaway liquor outlets, and a mandatory requirement to show a driver's licence to buy takeaway grog. The effect was instant. The assault rate immediately went up in Darwin's Mitchell Street. The CLP tried a few new strategies in Darwin. Police stationed outside bottle shops to stop the vulnerable from buying grog. But there weren't enough police for that project, so the idea lapsed. Then, late last year, the government gave police extraordinary new powers, known as paperless arrest. This allowed police to detain people for minor offences, such as public drinking and disorderly behaviour. The Chief Minister, Adam Giles, claimed instant success.
And I will remember when Labor was saying that places like Mitchell Street were a mini Beirut just 12 months ago, and now we're seeing situations where the streets are being cleaned up. There is less violence, there is less alcohol-caused violence occurring, and this is because of a range of the measures that we put in place.
The crackdown has seen close to 1,000 Indigenous people detained for offences for which no court would order a term of imprisonment. The government acknowledged the laws would result in a deprivation of liberty, but the trade-off was that serious crimes would be avoided in the future. Attorney General John Elfrink.
Science, I get the concepts of liberty, but in the practical world, in the real world of Mitchell Street, when people are standing on street corners with their pants around their ankles, blaring out expletives or baring their buttocks to passing cars, or expectorating, fornicating, urinating, defecating and doing all those other things that they do when they have a skin full of juba juice, we have now said to the police, go out, lift them, pull them out of circulation, and you will, may probably be doing them a favour, because whilst they're sitting in the cells, they are not out creating or getting drunk or still committing later on in the evening indictable offences.
In May, an Indigenous man died in police custody after being detained under the paperless arrest regime. At the resulting inquest, the coroner launched a stunning attack on the government. Paperless arrests should be repealed, he said, and he warned of more deaths in custody as it was Indigenous people who were being caught in the crackdown. The government stood firm. Paperless arrests would remain.
And now I know my heart is a ghost town.
Nothing says in the paperless arrest legislation that it targets Aboriginal people. Unfortunately, Aboriginal people are overrepresented, and that's an effect of something else. The law must apply to all Territorians equally.
It's all politics. The CLP want them off the streets. It seems to be that attitude of getting them off the streets. My heart is a
ghost town. The arrest, that's my police, the arrest for nothing.
On Background Briefing, We're investigating the claim that paperless arrests have reduced crime in Darwin's entertainment precinct. I'm Wendy Carlisle. We'll reveal new evidence that shows alcohol-related crime across Darwin continues to rise.
06
is starting shift till 23:45. Communicating from DMP.
No one knows the streets of Darwin like the Larrakia Night Patrol. The Night Patrol is a community outreach project run by Darwin's traditional owners, the Larrakia. Each night, they search the city streets looking for the intoxicated, and a steady stream of referrals flood in from Territory Police Radio.
06 receiving.
Yeah, 06, get a 10 Litchfield Court. It's come from housing officers. They've got two intox in the house wanting to go to Baggett there. They've requested night patrol. Over.
Roger that. We're just at Casuarina bus stop. We're going to talk to transit, but I'm mobile there, over.
Roger.
I'm out on patrol with Tony and Itama.
Hello.
We've picked up a
You're
job
right?
from the police and we're heading down to a block of Housing Commission flats in the Darwin suburb of Nightcliff.
David, how old are you?
672, 1963. Probably
51.
52.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Johnny.
Johnny.
Yeah.
You going cheap on them?
The pair have been working together for a number of years and they know their beat well.
So what do? Just cruise around now?
Yeah, just checking, you know, sometimes we've driven around, there's someone asleep at the bus stop, intoxicated, and they're...
In the park here?
Yeah, you know, and you just ask, can we take them somewhere, preferably? And some of them, if they're so tired, they're happy to just go and have a sleep at the spin dry. Others have just got home to go to, and others just, they don't want to be troubled, and there's not much we can do.
Why do they call it the spin dry?
I suppose because they go in, they're drying out, come out, and then they're back in again, you know, and sort of that cycle, that spin cycle, that's what I can assume, that's what it
means.
What
do you think?
Dry out. Yeah, you know, watch your machine, dry up, spin dry, dry out. If you're there to sober up, dry out.
We're set for a long night. Itama and Tony might do 20 pickups or more, and the aim is always the same, to keep the intoxicated, or the intox as they call them, out of harm's way.
To give a place of safety to the intoxicated, have a safe result for the intoxicated, if we can, you know? Like whether it be the spin dry, whether it be their home, double check, just check, interact with the community, like the mainly Indigenous.
Long grass mob?
Yeah, long grass, you know, that's all we can do is just...
So is one of the main ideas to keep them out of the lockup?
Yes, that's the main, to keep them out of the watch house.
So, watch house, yeah.
Yeah.
Just find a better place than a watch house, because you end up with a fine, people don't have an income to pay that, it's just an ongoing domino effect of problems will come after, you know? That's what I believe.
Yeah, and there's been people that have had periods, like a few months, because of unpaid fines. They've spent time in prison because of unpaid fines. And their crime is that they're an alcoholic, you know?
Do you notice that more people are getting picked up by the police?
Yeah, there seems to be, it's all politics. The CLP want them off the streets. There seems to be that attitude of getting them off the streets. You know, it's all politics and it's all over my head. All we can do is just just offer a place of safety in that. And yeah, keep them out of lockup if we can, you know.
If they're violent and for other people's safety, of course, watch out for the best thing. And if it's that violent to other people, but you hardly ever see that.
No one thinks the night patrol is the solution to alcohol misuse. It's harm reduction at best. And last November, the CLP announced it wanted police to take back control of the city streets. Drinkers would be targeted. and the Attorney General called paperless arrests a form of catch and release, specifically designed to take offenders out of circulation. Attorney General John Elfrink.
What it will actually say to the police is, if these clowns are playing up, arrest them, take them into custody, get them out of circulation.
The laws have been so vigorously applied in Darwin that police paddy wagons have been known to queue up outside Darwin's CBD police station. The Northern Territory Police Association says there simply aren't enough staff to handle that. Paul McHugh.
Some of the feedback we've received at the police association is, you know, there have been times when police have been banked up a few vehicles deep waiting to get people into the cells. That's an issue.
But the Chief Minister says it's all worth it. Adam Giles.
And I will remember when Labor was saying that places like Mitchell Street were a mini Beirut just 12 months ago, and now we're seeing situations where the streets are being cleaned up. There is less violence, there is less alcohol-caused violence occurring, and this is because of the range of the measures that we put in place.
Background Briefing sought an interview with the Chief Minister, but he declined. We also sought evidence for his claim that alcohol-related crime on Mitchell Street had gone down by a quarter, as police statistics do not support this statement. But the Attorney-General also stands firm. Paperless arrests, he says, have reduced assaults.
When you brought the law in and you said at the time, I think I can quote you, you said, "I bet London to a brick that serious assaults later on in the evening will substantially drop." Has that occurred?
Well, if you look at the newspapers today in the Northern Territory, where 12 months ago Mitchell Street would regularly see an article about a serious assault in Mitchell Street, that has now almost disappeared.
But what do the police statistics say?
Well, I'm still waiting for the police to provide me statistics in this space. And, I mean, you've got to have a certain proving time before you can look at the statistics. But okay, certainly but anecdotally, the evidence is there.
My point is it hasn't stopped either you or the Chief Minister from claiming that serious assaults have gone down in the CBD.
Well, what we've said is,
and you're now saying it's anecdotal.
Well, there are serious assaults that happen historically. They appear not to be happening now. We're allowed to say, make that assertion on the basis of that.
What I'm trying to pin down is the connection between assault rates and paperless arrests. And what I'm putting to you is that the evidence doesn't support that.
Well, what I'm saying is that certainly I believe that it does.
John Elfrink. According to police data, although alcohol-reduced crime has dropped marginally in the last year, overall it's higher than when the CLP was first elected. As for the rest of Darwin and its satellite city Palmerston, alcohol-related violence continues to escalate, and we'll post those figures on our website. At the coronial inquest into the death of Kumanjayi Langdon in the Darwin Watch House, Coroner Greg Kavanagh said there was no evidence that paperless arrests reduced other more serious crimes. The North Australian Aboriginal Justice Association, NAJA, has challenged the laws in the High Court, which has yet to release its decision. Jonathan Hunya is the principal solicitor with NAJA.
There's no evidence to support that, and these sorts of policies aren't being rigorously analysed. We haven't got baseline data, we haven't got a proper rigorous model to analyse this and actually say, what are we going to count? How are we going to tell if this thing works? And that's a real problem, not only when we spend an awful amount of money on these sorts of policies, but when they have these significant impacts on people's freedoms. Surely we should be asking, do these things work? And if so, how? And at what cost? At what cost in terms of dollars? At what cost socially? At what cost in terms of people's liberties? Then we can have a real debate about whether these things work or not. But until we do that, we're really relying on anecdote and on rubbery figures.
The coroner heard evidence from senior police that 80% of those detained under paperless arrests are Indigenous, which means that close to 1,000 Indigenous people have been detained for a minimum of 4 hours for misdemeanours that no court would send someone to jail for. It's not hard to find Indigenous people who've been arrested and detained.
We were only just having a drink in the park. It was 8 o'clock at night and there was policemen on patrol. There was about four of us. There were a couple of blokes off the trawlers that just finished work and we were just sort of sitting there. We had, I think it was a dozen Jim Beam, and the police picked us up and pulled our cans out. Actually not far from the police station, really. It was in the park, stepped the police on the Esplanade.
Matty was arrested in a so-called designated area, a city park where drinking is banned. When police tipped out their Jim Beams, Matty and his mates were annoyed. They trooped up to the police station to complain.
We went up to the police station to complain that they'd poured the cans out.
There was a dozen cans between the four of
them. Yeah, and when we complained, they'd actually came up behind us and said we're sending them in for a couple of hours.
For?
Drinking in a public place.
But they hadn't...
Consuming alcohol in a public place.
But they hadn't said that earlier?
No.
Only when you went to complain?
Only when we went to complain. What happened then was we were held for about 3 hours and then we were allowed to go then. It was weird.
Matty wasn't too sure what crime they'd committed to get locked up.
They said that we were drinking in a public place and we were intoxicated.
Were you?
Yeah, to an extent, but not to an extent. We were actually staggering and making like loud noises. We were sitting there talking reasonable conversations.
Yeah, yeah. And when you...
About fishing and everything.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be sitting up there drinking and carrying on like two bob watches, which we weren't. We were actually, and two of the guys had just come off the trawl about an hour and a half, 2 hours beforehand, you know. They'd cleaned up the boat and everything, and they'd come up and we'd met them all there, and yeah, that was it.
Yeah. And so you were put in a cell, were you?
Yes, we were put in a cell in the drunk's tank, and we were there for about 4 hours. And then they opened up the door and said, right, lads, ready to go. Yeah, whatever. I mean, it was done and dusted. We couldn't do anything. So we didn't bother arguing about it. No, we just left. And the only thing we were really upset about is that we lost a dozen cans.
But in the afternoon of Thursday, May 21, much more was lost than a dozen cans of Jim Beam. A police operation was underway in Mitchell Street, Darwin. Najar's Jonathan Hunya.
Well, police were involved in Operation Ascari, which was an operation designed to, I guess in colloquial terms, crack down on public disorder type offending. Drinking in public particularly was one thing they were looking at. And police were doing patrols around this area and they'd identified Spillett Park here as what they were calling a hotspot for public drinking particularly. Quite often Aboriginal people will sit here in groups.
It's got nice trees.
There's some shade. It backs onto a lane, so it's kind of one of the pathways that particularly long grassers or itinerant people will use kind of getting one place to the other, and they might stop here, and police have identified it as somewhere where people are often drinking.
Amongst that group of Indigenous people in Spillett Park was a Walpri man from Yuendamu in Central Australia.
Kumanjai Langdon was here with other people, including some members of his family, and police were across the road diagonally opposite from here at the Woolworths car park where they were arresting some other people for drinking offences. And one of the police officers looked across and saw Kumanjai drinking something from a green plastic soft drink bottle, and he formed the view at that stage that he was drinking alcohol because of the sort of the context.
And what did the police do then?
The police officer decided right then to arrest him, and they decided at that stage as well that they were going to take him back to the police station and hold him for 4 hours or longer under this paperless arrest regime.
Was he being unruly?
No. So the evidence in the inquest was that he'd done nothing to draw himself to the attention of police apart from doing something that looked like he was drinking alcohol. The police officer formed the view that he was intoxicated, and that was a fair enough view. He was in fact quite drunk.
Kumanjai Langdon was detained in custody. The coroner found he was treated like a criminal, fingerprinted and handcuffed. He later died on a concrete bench due to his poor health.
But the coroner then went on to question whether or not it was a reasonable thing to then arrest him and take him into custody, because even having decided he was drinking, it was then open to the police to think of a range of other things, such as sending him home or taking him to a sobering up shelter, or even just giving him a warning and leaving him alone, because he was doing nothing apart from drinking.
The coroner said Kumanjai Langdon was entitled to die a free man. But the Territory's first law officer, John Elfrink, is unrepentant.
Because it's those people who then escalate into further offending down the track. Where do these people defecate? Where do these people urinate? Where do these people...
Mr Langdon was doing none of those things. The coroner found that he was very quietly sitting in the park having a drink with friends. He wasn't drawing any attention to himself.
But the laws of the Northern...
But for the fact that he was drinking in a pub.
The laws of the Northern Territory say you can't do that because of the enormous problems that drinking in our public places cause.
The Territory's coroner, Greg Kavanagh, said paperless arrest laws were irreconcilable with the recommendations of the Royal Commission into Black Deaths in Custody, which urge police to use arrest and detention as a last resort. These laws, he said, had been introduced without any apparent thought to the likely increase in deaths in custody.
The Northern Territory coroner criticised these laws in his findings into the death of the man who passed away in the Darwin Watch House. He said it's a retrograde law.
Mm.
You said the laws were back to the future. I guess in some way you're both agreeing, are you? He's saying but it's back to the bad old days and you're saying something else, it's back to the good days.
Look, I have to show the greatest of respect to the coroner as the Attorney General. I would never, ever seek to scandalise a court in the Northern Territory. But having read his decision, essentially what is woven into his decision is this notion that an Aboriginal person should be in some way exempt of the laws of the Northern Territory in a way that a non-Aboriginal person is.
He hasn't said that, though.
It's implied in the decision, and I've said that before. The other component is that he somehow seems to suggest that Aboriginal people are somehow excluded from the public bars and other institutions in our community. They are not. You can go into any public bar as any race in the Northern Territory and you can enjoy a drink locally so long as you meet the dress standards and so long as you meet the expectations of the licensed premises. Mm. The coroner has an opinion which I just don't share.
It was an opinion with respect, Minister. It was a finding of a judicial officer.
Yes, and I would say that that is an opinion.
Yeah, BKM, we complete a conveyance of one female and one male to One Mile Dam community. Is it possible we can get the job details for the job in Wood Street, over?
Roger, I don't have many details. We've got police off there at the moment with an unrelated offence. They state that they've got a drunk female that's causing them trouble, just trying to get involved. So they're just requesting you guys come and pick her up. They'll be able to advise you of the female when you arrive, over.
Yeah, roger that,
BKM. It's another busy night on the Larrakia Night Patrol.
Roger, thank you.
Night Patroller Carly is out with her buddy, Pete, and they can see it's going to be a big night.
This is job number 7, ma'am.
Oh.
We've been called by police to come and assist an Indigenous woman not far from the CBD. And the police are there when we arrive.
How you going?
How you going, Mark?
Good.
Is that this young lady over here?
Oh, yeah. I'll just drive her.
Carly's first job is to wake the woman up and get her into the back of the Larrakia Night Patrol van.
This is... Hello. Sweetie, wake up, it's Night Patrol. Take you somewhere? You
want to
go spin drive for a rest?
You know if this is hers?
Come on then. You want to wake up for me? We'll take you for a rest, hey? It's Night Patrol.
Beverly, come on.
Come on, sweetie. You're right.
Beverly, sit up.
Come on, sweetie. Hop up. You're right. It's only Night Patrol. Come on.
Sit up, Beverly.
Watch your leg. You want to go spin drive for a rest?
Yeah.
All right.
Ready?
Are you ready? Can we help you up?
1, 2, 3, 8.
Up. That's the way.
Last year, the Territory Government cut funding to the Larrakia Night Patrol. The NT Attorney General said it was just funding that encouraged people to get on the terps. The Office of Prime Minister and Cabinet then stepped in with the funding shortfall.
So what brings you to this job? What is it about this job?
Oh, it was a second job for me, so money really.
Yeah, the same for me. Just needed a job. I managed to get this job on my own, so just pretty happy with that.
Yep.
So I'd been with a job network for like 3 odd years, and every job they kept trying to put me in, it just didn't fit my criteria. I just didn't want to work. Particular places like childcare and stuff like that.
It's certainly not childcare.
I can work with kids. Don't get me wrong, I'm just not a kids person, like, to be completely honest. But if I had to work with kids, I would.
But it's probably better that you don't.
No, I'm not mean to kids.
I'm only joking.
One thing I'd never. But it's just I don't have the patience for it.
Carly's very good at what she does here.
No.
Yes, you are.
What makes you good?
Ask him, he's saying it. I don't know. I just do the job I'm supposed to do. Her attendance record?
She's probably got the best attendance record here. Paperwork's the best. No. Bit of a stick for the rules. And just keen and good at what she does. Yeah. I mean, everybody's good. Yeah, but I think she's probably the top dog. Could have gift of the gab.
Yeah, well, they'd just half of them would rather put up with us than put up with the police, you know, because, like, the police these days, just some of them don't have patience with them, where we do, like.
2 years ago, the government announced the creation of temporary beat locations. TBLs meant police were now to be stationed outside takeaway liquor shops in Alice Springs, Katherine, Tennant Creek and in Darwin to stop alcohol getting into dry communities. But the temporary beat locations were dropped in Darwin because there just weren't enough police. The Territory Police Association has been on the warpath about the policy, saying police have been turned into quasi-security guards for the liquor outlets. Paul McHugh.
You know, at the moment, one of the solutions government have come up with is to stand police in front of liquor outlets, for example. Whilst that might be effective to a certain degree, that's, number one, not sustainable, and number two, not the wholly and solely answer to that problem. So there are possibly other measures we can look at, such as restricting the alcohol in other ways. The previous government had a banned drinkers register. I'm not saying let's bring that back, but there might be other technology or other things they can do rather than have police tied up at the front of bottle shops every day.
In June, a federal parliamentary inquiry into alcohol misuse in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities recommended that the Territory reintroduce the banned drinkers register, which they found had significantly reduced alcohol-related harm. They also called for a volumetric alcohol tax. These recommendations have been enthusiastically welcomed by the People's Alcohol Action Coalition from Central Australia. And they say that while temporary beat locations have reduced harm in Tennant Creek, Alice and Katherine, in Darwin it's a very different story. Dr. John Boffa.
But of course, that's only happening in Katherine, Tennant Creek and Alice Springs. In Darwin, it hasn't been replaced with anything. And it hasn't been replaced with any other population supply reduction measures. So Darwin is significantly worse off now than it was when this new government was elected.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the hospital data shows, but I do know that the assault statistics that the police release do show that the rates of assault are going up in Darwin and Palmerston, unlike in Katherine, Tennant Creek and Alice Springs, where they're going down. So I guess there could be some correlation there, do you think?
I think it's quite likely that there's a correlation there. But again, to study this properly, we need to be able to access the data. And we need to be able to access the data across the Northern Territory through a proper independent evaluation process. To depoliticise this, we actually need to have a situation where through data linkage, we have a data set longitudinally that's independent to government that can be looked at any time to assess the impact of any policy measures that are taken on alcohol. That's really what's needed, because unfortunately this becomes such a political football and governments control access to data so hotly if they're concerned the data's not going to show what they want.
Dr. John Boffa. The Territory government's not interested in more reviews or inquiries. In fact, they were singled out and criticised by the Federal Parliamentary Inquiry for not cooperating. Nor are they interested in the coroner's recommendation that they commission an independent expert inquiry into responses to alcohol misuse. The Attorney-General, John Elfrink, says he's heard it all before.
The coroner gave you an option. He not only did he recommend that you repeal the law, which the government has rejected, he recommended that the Territory Government commission an independent expert inquiry into responses to alcohol misuse. So he did give you an option. Will you be adopting that recommendation?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because how many more inquiries do we have to have into alcohol abuse in the Northern Territory?
This is an inquiry into responses to alcohol misuse.
And we've had those sorts of inquiries. I think that the evidence is in.
So the only thing you can do is throw the law at people now. You've given up.
What I have done is become realistic about the situation we've got, because we are responding to something that is external to us, which is that passive welfare system.
It's a response that astonishes Dr. John Boffer.
Look, I think that's incredibly misleading and short-sighted. I'm not aware of any independent inquiries that the Northern Territory Government have conducted on alcohol policy in the broad sense. We're getting access to data off the back of a truck, information that's leaked to us. We're not getting data officially in the way that we need to assess the impact of alcohol policy. When he says they know what needs to be done, I think he means that, you know, they wake up one morning and have a good idea and realise that should be what they do. They're not looking at evidence in terms of published evidence, because if they were, we'd be seeing things like a minimum unit price on alcohol in the territory. We'd be seeing photo licensing at the point of sale and the banned drinkers register returning. We'd be seeing a reduction in total takeaway trading hours. None of these things are happening.
The Northern Territory Police Association is also calling on the government to find a new approach. Paul McHugh.
You know, I think it's been far too long for the government to sit down and not look at alternative options to just sticking a police officer in front of a liquor outlet. There's other solutions, and let's look at them.
Now, this is the fine here I got just for drinking in a public place here in Moreland.
What's this one say? Yeah, it's a blue piece of paper.
Yeah, that's me there.
Infringement notice, it says. Northern Territory of Australia infringement notice.
Unemployed. I don't know where I'm going to get $737.50.
Right, yeah. So that happened just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it happened at 10 to 8 at night. And it says here you were drinking in a regulated place in a designated area, and you continued what's that one?
I don't know.
Contravened a banning notice, and you had disorderly behaviour.
Why is that?
Yeah. And then it says you fined $737.50. So what are you going to do about that fine?
Don't know. What? Unless the police will give me a job, you know, I can pay for this. But I'm an unemployed, new start. So how am I going to pay that? $20.
What happens if you don't pay the fine?
Get a warrant out.
Warrant for your arrest?
Yeah.
And then what can happen
and,
to you?
Send it to jail.
Background Briefing's coordinating producer is Linda McGuinness. Research by Lawrence Bull. Technical production, Lila Schunner. The executive producer is Chris Bullock, and I'm Wendy Carlisle.
If you want to follow Background Briefing on Twitter to get story updates and other news, the team's handle is @RNBBING.